I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 477. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. As we get started today, I recognize engaging God's Word for yourself can feel daunting. And while our featured song will give us fresh inspiration as to where to study, the episode guide will give you the interaction tools you need to dig in. So grab your episode 477 guide at michellenezat.com/477 download. And if you're already subscribed to my email list, this guide is already in your inbox, ready to help you discover and meditate on God's Word in new ways. I don't know if you've noticed, but worship music makes up a good deal of the contemporary Christian music that gets played on the radio these days. And because of this, the chances are high that you might sing a song on a Sunday morning that you sing along with in the car. And we sing this week's song, Trust in God by Elevation Worship in our church. And I can't wait to blow your mind with all the places that this song can inspire you to study. You may just never sing this song the same again. You know, we're going to dive straight into scripture, but before we do that, let's listen. I played the chorus and some of the bridge because of the phrase, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. Now that phrase comes directly from Psalm 34, and we're going to head straight there. But let me add one thing here before we do. When you sing the bridge, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. I hope you're singing, I trust him because he's trustworthy. He said he would hear an answer, and I have faith that he will hear an answer because he said he would, he has before, and he will again. That's why I trust him, because he's trustworthy. What I hope you don't mean is that you trust him because he's going to do what you ask. He does what he says. He will answer. Just remember that, and we're going to get into that in a little bit with this psalm, but remember also that his answer may not be what you want. But I really want you to sing this song, That's Why I Trust Him, as a reflection of his trustworthiness. All right. So when I open my Bible to Psalm 34, I see that there's a little paragraph at the beginning that gives me some additional information that will be important for us as we interact with God's word this week. And my Bible includes the title of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. So this is going to be our first clue of where we might go next. But first, read the entire psalm. And that is taking the bite of reading in context. So psalms are self-contained. If you read the chapter before and the chapter after, as I normally encourage you to do when taking the bite of reading in context, that's not going to help you when you read the psalms. Bite, by the way, is Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. And I'm going to share several of these exercises that I used to interact with the text myself. Now, I don't just tell you how you could interact with the text differently, as if I'm reading from a list of possibilities that I haven't really tried lately. I share with you my actual journey through this scripture. And you can follow along with my steps. You can pick and choose from the bites that I share. You can go in a completely different direction as the Lord may lead you. But I do know this. You need to move beyond merely reading the text. Start there. If you have not been in the habit of reading your Bible, start there. But once that habit is firmly established, then try interacting with it in new ways to get new results and dig deeper into God's Word than you ever have before. So start by reading all 22 verses all the way through. It's just 22 verses, right? So maybe pair this with the bite of repetition. You know, read Psalm 34 in the morning and again in the evening. Add the bite of reading the text aloud. Add the bite of listening to an audio version. Perhaps you could take the bite of listening or reading in various translations. So once Psalm 34 is firmly established in your mind, then find some time to sit down and interact with the text. I think you can see that the bites that we've taken so far really are not that time consuming. And so if you do it repetitively, like I mentioned, then that will give you that foundation so that when you do have time or you make time, you carve out time to interact with the text, you'll now have a foundation of familiarity with the text. You might be familiar with some of the phrases found in this psalm even before you read it yourself. Like Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." Yeah, you know, that's the verse that's sung in our song. Verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." One of my favorites is verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." So one of the verses is quoted by John in chapter 19 of the New Testament book, John, as being fulfilled in the death of Jesus. Psalm 34:20 says, "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." That verse is quoted in John. So taking all of these verses as standalone has some value. You know, we can consider our theme verse, verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." You might be surprised to discover that the word trust is not found in Psalm 34. Strange, since the title of our song is "I Trust in God." Of course, I was inspired again by that phrase in the bridge. But remember, God is displaying his trustworthiness when he answers when we call. And David is sharing an experience here that he sought the Lord and God answered him. So when we share our testimony of God's faithfulness with others, it builds up their faith. So when was the last time you shared an example from your own life where you sought the Lord and he answered you? How did he answer you? In this case, David sought the Lord and he answered him and delivered him from all his fears. Awesome. But I've been seeking the Lord lately on behalf of my husband. And if the Lord so moves in you, I'd love it if you would lift a prayer as well, because he's in a real pickle in several of his businesses. Yes, several. I call him a serial entrepreneur. But for one business, I've been seeking the Lord to provide him a new lead for an installation crew. It's been a bit of a revolving door, and it's been really, really draining on him. And for another business, I've been seeking the Lord to provide a way for us to get proper reimbursements for medical services that we provide. So you think, when you file it and they pay it, the next time you file the same thing, they'll pay the same thing. But it just kind of hasn't been working out that way. So I've been seeking the Lord that he would intervene. For another business, I've been seeking the Lord to open doors for Ron to do business consulting. And that's a role that really fills his bucket. But what happens if I seek the Lord in all these matters and his answer is to deliver me from all my fears? Remember what I said earlier, that if you're singing over and over and over and over again, "I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered," it's not some sort of name it and claim it magic spell. It's a reminder to your soul that you can trust God because he's trustworthy, and whatever answer he gives, and he'll give one because he says he will, that answer can be trusted. So if God's answer for my husband Ron and I is to deliver us from all of our fears, rather than answer our pleas for a new lead or new clients or better reimbursements, then we trust him. But I'd like to zoom out a bit. We've been looking at one verse. I want to take in the whole psalm in a couple of ways. So one of my favorite bites is to start with God. You know, we've been trained to approach scripture with a "what's in it for me" attitude. And incorporating this bite of starting with God will just transform your time in scripture. So when you are starting with God, you are looking for his character, his conduct, and his concerns. And this week, I pasted the text into an app on my iPad called Notability. My college-age daughter told me about it. It's a great app to mark up the text. I can increase the font, which I have to do more often now as I get older. I can increase the font. I can increase increase the spacing. And with a psalm like this, it's got this wide margin I can write in. And then I use like an iPencil with my tablet. Another option that I've used in the past is just copy and paste the text into a word processing software like Google Docs or Word, Microsoft Word. You can increase the font, line spacing, all that, print it out, and then you can mark it up that way. And that's a bite, marking up the text. But when I highlighted God's character, conduct, and concerns, I literally just in this Notability app took the pencil and highlighted every, of starting with God, every aspect of his character, conduct, and concerns. I saw these kinds of things. He answered me. We've already been discussing like that. He delivered me. The Lord heard him. The Lord encamps around those who fear him. There's another, delivers them. The Lord is good. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. The ears of the Lord are toward the cries of the righteous. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And then another summary statement that ties things that we've already highlighted. The Lord hears the cries of the righteous and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord delivers again. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. And when I interacted with the psalm in this way, what jumped out at me is there's a lot of hearing and a lot of deliverance, okay? And all of these things we sing about in our song, which is so great. So it'll tie back what you've studied. But God is faithful and good, and I trust in him, and I hope you do too. But another thing that jumped out at me this week is how much of this psalm is about people and not necessarily about God. When I took my little highlighter, I realized it kind of came in clumps of God's character, conduct, and concerns, and the rest of it was really about people. And I curated my Start With God bite from a book by Dr. Matthew Harmon entitled Asking the Right Questions. And I actually interviewed Dr. Harmon on a special Friday with Friends edition of More Than a Song. I'm going to go ahead and link to that in the show notes in case you missed it. But after Dr. Harmon encourages us to ask, what do we learn about God? His next two questions are, what do we learn about people? And what do we learn about relating to God? And I really encourage you to click the link in the show notes because he shared a free printable bookmark with those questions and sub questions that are going to help you walk through this process. But this psalm is a prime candidate to ask these questions because we see a lot of things that we can learn about people here. So then I want you to reread this psalm and mark up what you learn about people. Some of the things that I highlighted, and again, I did this in a different color as it relates to people, are fears, shame, poverty, troubles, lack, want and hunger, desires life, loves many days, or another way of saying wants a long life, brokenhearted, crushed in spirit, afflicted. This is the bite of making a list, by the way. I highlighted the text and then I rewrote it out in a list. So my question to you is, do you see yourself in this list? Are you afflicted? Do you have lack? Are you bound by shame or fear? Are you crushed in spirit? This psalm is for you, which leads me to my next point. The Bible was written for you, but not to you. So just like the writers of our inspiration song had something in mind when they wrote the lyrics, our lyricist who wrote this psalm did too. So remember, let's go back to what we mentioned earlier, the title of our psalm, of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. So this is like a story behind the song clue that we don't always get with every psalm. You know, inspired by this title, I took the bite of following the cross reference to read this kind of story behind the song. So this led me to 1 Samuel chapter 21. In fact, in verse 13, we read this. So he changed, he being David, he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. All right, this is David. And once I got, though, there to 1 Samuel 21, I'm like, okay, yep, this is the right spot. Then I needed to read in context. So I backed up and read 1 Samuel 20 all the way through chapter 22. I'm going to summarize it here for you, but to get the same thing out of the process that I did, that I really want you to read it for yourself. And also, I've read all of this narrative in the past. So if starting in chapter 20 feels like you're starting in the middle of a movie you've never seen, by all means, back up further. You know, what a wonderful reason to read more scripture. But in chapter 20, we see David and Jonathan. Saul is king, and Jonathan is his son, and David and Jonathan are best friends. Not like we watch football together on the weekends friends, but like blood brother friends. So Saul disobeyed God in this story, and God had Samuel, who's the prophet anoint David as the new king. So David was anointed, but not crowned at this point. Saul knows this, and he's a bit jealous, and he's a whole lot crazy. Like, throw spears at your head crazy. And David tells Jonathan that Saul wants to kill him. Jonathan doesn't believe him. So in chapter 20, we read about how Jonathan discovers for himself that David is not exaggerating. Yep, dear old dad wants to kill David, and so it would probably be a good time to run. So in chapter 21, David runs over to the town of Nob. He's hungry and he approaches Ahimelech the priest for food. Now he does lie. He says he's on a special mission from the king, and the priest goes ahead and gives him what he has, which is the only thing he has on hand is holy bread. He also gives him the only weapon around, which ironically was Goliath's sword. So then David flees to Gath, but is immediately recognized by the servants of the king of Gath, so as someone important. So David pretends to be crazy to get kicked out of Gath rather than captured. And then in chapter 22, we read this. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Okay, so David has been ripped from his current life in service to the king. He has been ripped from Jonathan, the deepest friendship that any of us could ever hope for. David has been ripped from his wife, Michal, who loved him. She actually helped him escape in chapter 18. David's been hungry. He was vulnerable without a weapon, and he is running for his life. Now he's in a cave and is a commander over 400 people. And let me read the description again. His brothers, all his father's house, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul. It's in this cave that David writes this song. Now, how about that for a story behind the song? And then add to this information that it is an acrostic poem, meaning each verse in the original language begins with a progressive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So now when you read Psalm 34, you're going to see a little bit of David's own affliction, and you're going to see this shepherd guiding this band of misfits that God has given him to lead. So let's read the first four verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, what an example to his men and to us. I'm sitting in a cave in a pit of great loss and sorrow, and yet I will bless the Lord at all times. What is he calling his band of misfits to do? Magnify the Lord with him and exalt his name together. Because no matter how alone David may have felt, God saw fit to put him in community. So after this call to worship, David then testifies to God's faithfulness in his own life. Let's start in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I can almost picture him pointing to himself when he's saying, this poor man cried. You know, me, I'm the poor man. But even in this testimony, his new band of brothers can relate. They bring their own fears. They bring their own shame, their own troubles, and their own poverty to this cave. So then David starts to teach them things about the Lord that they may never have heard before. Things about the Lord, but also ways that they should be responding. Starting verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So they are to take refuge in the Lord. They are to fear the Lord. They are to seek the Lord, and he will show himself as the good deliverer and the provider that they need. When he says, taste and see that the Lord is good, I can picture him kind of remembering the taste of the holy bread that he got on his journey to this cave. And then here comes the practical teaching of the shepherd in verse 11. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. So you want a long life from the Lord? You got to change your ways. Watch your mouth. Turn away from evil. Seek peace. Walk in righteousness and cry out to God who leans into your cries. And then the rest of the psalm turns our eyes back on the Lord. We learn about the eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord, the face of the Lord. We learn about the distance of the Lord. Is he near? Is he far? And then the finale of this beautiful song, a clarion call to David and his band of misfits to trust in God in verse 22. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. It reminds me of John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And then also Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord is our Redeemer. Take refuge in him. Trust in God. So what's next? We'll read and reread Psalm 34 until you have that solid foundation of what the words actually say. Then mark up the text as you look for God's character and conduct and concerns before moving on to considering what we learn about people. And then finally, how we are to respond to God. And then read all about the story behind the song by starting in 1 Samuel 20 and read all the way through chapter 22. Meditate on what this song may have meant to that first audience, that band of misfits in the cave with David, and then make connections to your own life. And I hope as you see yourself in David's band of misfits, you more clearly see why you can trust in God in Psalm 34. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, Michelle@MichelleNeesat.com. Hop on X or Instagram @MichelleNeesat. My public Facebook page is Michelle L. Neesat, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And then don't forget to grab your episode guide at MichelleNeesat.com/477-download. And with that in mind, I want to thank my new subscribers who have subscribed lately, like Patty from South Carolina, Melanie from Illinois, Gab from Texas, Josiah from Indonesia, Melanie from Oregon, and Melanie from Japan. Welcome. Don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at MichelleNeesat.com or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, do that today by heading over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring Strong by Ann Wilson to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, X, or email. Just head over to MichelleNeesat.com/477. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.